galactic civil war spreads across the sun.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hydian Way. We're a live play podcast that uses Fantasy Flight Games' Age of Rebellion as our base and use published adventures as our main storyline. The current module is Friends Like These and can be found at your RPG retailer. This is Act 1, Episode 5, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
These are the heroes of the Hydian Way.
A floundering foundry. We left our heroes in the midst of a recommissioned separatist foundry whose leadership is fractured. Cal Corsa, the nebbish leader, and Lyra Harden, the experienced combat engineer, are at each other's throats. Our team, led by the dissident Nima Ptolemy, has just informed our squad of the preparations being made and the deals that she had to make. Imp is searching the computer network of the foundry for signs of a traitor, while Metu Ordo is trying to bring Corsa around to seeing that being a leader also means being flexible. We resolve on Kith Ursabek as she calms her squad leader, the one who traded away her ship for the marshmallow handshake. I'm going to cut over to Kith and Nima to see what they are up to as Kith catches up with Nima as she's pacing and wandering around the facility.
Are you calming me or are you catching up to me?
I was going to calm you and actually I was going to hop on and see if you'd come back to the ship.
Yeah, when your calm goes off, Nima looks at it and recognizes your frequency and just breathes deep and then answers it. What's up, Kith?
I need to check a thing on your thing. If you could meet me in my lab on the ship.
I'll be right there. And Nima will turn around from her wandering and head back to the vanishing point, fully expecting Kith to chew her out.
Take your blaster.
And she'll go ahead and she walks up the ramp a few minutes later.
Okay, Kit's lab, as she's calling it, for reasons, because it doesn't feel right to call it a garage, I guess, is basically the same room that she had on the Shadow Raptor. You know, there's piles, and you can tell they're organized by her, and not by, like, it's not like a card catalog in any way, shape, or form. It's more like a kind of privately owned antique slash junk store that you walk in and it's like puzzle piece together in a way that makes sense to only the person that set it down.
To everybody else, it kind of looks like chaos.
Oh, absolutely. But she has a nice, she always has a nice clear workspace, and she kind of brings you over. I'm guessing you're not actually carrying your shield around, but at the same time, it's easy to carry around.
I imagine she is. Because it's very light. She can wear it on her forearm. I imagine she is carrying it, unless she has reason not to be carrying it.
Okay, Kit's going to be like, can I see the shield real quick?
Nima goes ahead and takes it off of her arm and passes it over to you.
If you want to just grab a seat, this won't take long.
And she'll look around and go ahead and move some bits of scrap off of one of the chairs and take a seat.
So there's a little bit of fiddling and a little bit of... It's quite obviously she has nothing, actually, that she needs to do with the shield. She's literally just, like, taking the housing off and turning it over and over in her hands. And she's like, it's not the ship. It's everything and the ship? I don't know where you are. I don't know where Matu is. I don't know where TV is. But we need to be together, or this criffing planet is going to explode. And it's not just killing us. And I can't handle that. And you can't handle that without us. So, come back.
I'm right here, Kith. I don't know what you... Look, it's a stressful situation for everybody right now. And I'm just trying to do my best here, trying to find a path out of this.
Bring Matu back. Bring TV back. Tell us what's going on. And tell us what you think we need to do. I will pay attention. I can't promise for TV.
Okay, hold on. So, Nima?
Ben, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
I would really love if TJ would chime in right now. In this moment of emotional trauma. Just TJ. I don't even care what.
Oh yes. It's amazing that the four of you were able to defeat me. The four of you are splitting at the seams. When you defeated me, it was as if you were one.
That thing is still alive.
Whoops.
I thought it was just... Kith, what are you doing with that?
Whoops.
Nothing?
You didn't hear that.
I can see the image of, like, his photoreceptors was on, and then they just, like, blink out for the moment.
And you see TJ's head, and there's just, like, this slight pile of stuff around him to disguise him.
Kev.
Everybody had stuff to do. And he has some good ideas.
He tried to take over the ship and fly it into a black hole.
I really don't know that that was his intent, but he does like talking about black holes. I think it's a tactical droid thing. He had a good point. Splitting at the seams, working is what we should get back the band back together. And don't tell TV I said that, because I will never hear the end of it.
Look, we're all here on the mission. We're all here on the ship, Kith. Or maybe not literally in this exact moment, but you know what I mean.
I don't think we mean the same thing.
Some things can't be patched up that easily.
And with that, actually, especially on that line, I'm going to screen wipe back to the command center of the facility.
So, tactically speaking, what do you think?
Would it be wrong to look into Arden's like personal journal? Because I'm pretty sure she likes me.
Go ahead, I don't care what I have.
Okay.
We can use the advantages on it, I guess.
Okay, so for your third advantage, I'm going with, yeah, you go through and look at her data journal. And this looks like it's been copied from system to system to system. It's just sort of gone with her. It's her actual personal journal. And yeah, TV, as you're looking through this, like you see date codes of, wait, this was actually at Zorn during the battle where you were deactivated. And just going through from there to her other postings, to the conversion of the Republic into the Empire, and then her mustering out because of how things were going, how she met up with Bellows. And then, several years ago, the guy who she had come here with, that she had trusted, the Phantom of Gaul, as she just keeps on calling him Gans, and every now and then mocking him in there about being the Phantom. He came here and he died, leaving Cal in charge. Since then, she started off rather unsure. You can kind of see going through this that she's been feeling a bit, she's been taken for granted. She's given free rein over a shipyard. Like, they essentially completely built a freighter here before this Rello showed up. They've taken this freighter Rello has and have stripped it down to the skeleton and rebuilt it into this privateer. And the works that she's doing here rival a lot of the stuff that happened in the Republic back in the days of the Clone Wars, the things that actually sort of spoke to her as being a actual builder, as being a crafter. But she's been feeling that Cal's been focusing more and more on the business and more on trying to take this from supporting this place into getting revenge for Gaul. That everyone here has been chased off of Gaul has been... that it's scarred Cal. And she's saying that she's feeling that he is taking her for granted and what she does, what she brings to the table, what her people bring to the table.
Dude, bad news.
What?
She doesn't mention me at all.
That's not necessarily important. You got here like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, losing my touch. He relates the rest of the information.
What? Wait, she's the... Hold on, let me check something.
I want to roll the force.
Okay.
We'll just do a 4C. Let's see. Nah, we're going to flip. We're going to do it.
Okay, so using a dark side point, what sort of 4C thing are you wanting?
I'm trying to clarify my vision. I know I've done it a few times since I got here. you know, trying to figure out what those animals were doing. And then because me, Chris, could not figure it out until like a week ago, I'm trying to clarify that part of it. Which basically is trying to figure out which person should he be backing here.
You're thinking back to the pit with Astrile in it. You're thinking back to it and the one that has run off, the older leader that has died in it, the younger one of the lineage that is there leading or has taken control of the pack. And there's another one, not quite the mate of the elder that is now dead, but the one of the pack mates of it. As you're looking back through this with trying to foresee, trying to take this touchstone that you had seen and apply it to the different people here that you're now convinced this is what it was, you're pretty sure that the ones here, even though they're much more moody than what you thought of, with the Astrile snipping at each other and sort of biting each other's backs, the young one here does seem to be the one that is a more capable actual leader. He's considering what's actually going on for the entire pack, whereas it seems like the older one is more concerned about her hunting pack.
Okay, so Matu comes back to himself, looks over at Amp.
Did I tell you that I talked to Jedi Master Plo Koon?
Did he say anything about me?
No. Well, sort of. Anyway, my point is, he warned me that the dark side was about trying to use the Force to impose my will upon other situations, and that I had to avoid that. I'm really convinced that Corsa here is the right horse to back, as it were, but we don't have any evidence that's going to easily sway everyone else. Now, part of me is thinking, maybe you could use your new expertise at, you know, Hardin's comm logs to forge a few communiques that might be incriminating, but I'm not sure if that's going to lead me into becoming some sort of lightning-throwing, rampaging Sith maniac.
The question I have is, do you just want to take what you've learned to Corsa and see about trying to calm his butt down? Because it looks like he's sort of stuck in his own rut of blaming Hardin.
Right.
And he can't see beyond himself to that it might not be the case.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Alright, let's take what we found to Corsa, and maybe he'll find some sort of political, diplomatic solution to all of this.
So the remaining two advantage, Amp would like to somehow set up something in the computer so that if anybody tries to communicate off-world, he gets notified.
Absolutely. That is absolutely a thing that can get done.
He also adds an entry into her calendar app that the band is going to play next Thursday.
Yeah, Maddie and Droid Guy are going to be on world, and she's totally got to go. It's on her calendar.
Like you're leaving two tickets?
Yep. All access pass. Wait, no, one ticket. I don't want her to bring anyone.
Did this just get a lot weirder? I feel like it just got a lot weirder.
How does Sally feel about all of this?
He's just a tramp, but we love him.
I don't know, she's probably on a date right now. She's probably busy.
Oh, free love droids.
Oh, yes. Chris, stop talking.
With friends like these.
And that's the podcast, folks. We're done.
You've got TV and Matu coming up to Cal Corsa. How are you wanting to present what you found to him?
We'll just have TV generate a summary spreadsheet report with line graphs and bar charts, highlighted specific entries, and then Matu is just going to generically explain the situation and finish off with, "So you see, she wasn't betraying anyone after all. We have no idea how the Empire found it. I mean, honestly, there's all sorts of horrible, shadowy people going in and out of this system. Who knows which one of them squealed out to the Empire?" Or maybe it was tortured out of them.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to make me feel better?
It's supposed to prove that maybe you don't get along with Harden, but she's at least not a traitor.
I would like to get a social skill roll from the two of you.
Woo!
Never has a more horrifying sentence been uttered on this podcast.
I like it.
Now, here's the other thing.
Do I have a rank in deception?
For the difficulty, it is 2 purple, 1 red.
Okay, buddy, what are we going to do? I got nothing except coercion.
I rank in deception.
You have coercion.
But we're not really deceiving him because we honestly believe it.
We could angle it.
We proved her innocence.
Yeah. I know. And not only is she innocent, but she wrote several entries in her personal logs about how she admired your leadership skills. I kind of nudged
really?
TV like, you can make some of those, right? Like, you can make some of those real quick?
Yeah.
So all I got is, I got 3 cunning.
And then 1 rank.
Yeah. So yellow, 2 green. You said 2 red and a purple or 2 purple and a red?
2 purple, 1 red. Though with you saying that, like with you coming to him with a call log showing that nothing's gone on, he's actually a lot more inclined to believe you. So I'm actually going to give you 2 boosts on it.
Okay, so I got a yellow, 2 green, 2 blue, 1 red, 2 purple. Here we go. 3 successes.
So, with this, he just sort of slumps forward. It's like, no, you're definitely right. I shouldn't have been treating her this way. But this, at least partially, is a bit of my fault. I should have been trusting her. I've been working alongside her for years. And I should be knowing her better. If you can get her to admit that she's been giving me a hard time as much as I've been giving her a hard time, I'm pretty sure that we can work well together again.
And dude, say thanks every once in a while, you know?
To which he just sort of looks shell-shocked.
Right, okay, we're gonna go do that. Good work on everything, great plan, great leadership. We're gonna win this for sure. We're just gonna go find Harden and have a little chat with her real quick right after I talk to Amp over here. How are we going to get her to do that? It doesn't seem like she's going to be particularly interested in, I don't know, lying to him after to corroborate our lie.
We'll talk into it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she likes me.
Okay, let me be clear here. Most organics are not into droids.
Yeah, most droids, most organics.
Have you ever successfully seduced an organic since you've become this?
Oh my gosh.
Well, you know, there hasn't been a lot of time, but I've gotten several promising leads.
Are you counting Kith as one of those promising leads?
Dude, has she talked about me?
Not in that way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she kind of plays the coast of the best.
Okay, right, listen. Let's ignore the fact that if of anyone I know, the one person who might consider a romantic relationship with a droid might be Kif. But aside from that, let's focus on the fact that I would rather you not try to go straight out of the gate here trying to seduce her into doing what we want.
I
want to
see him seduce her.
Let's keep that as a secondary plan.
Oh, please flirt with Harden.
Dude, you're right. Play it smooth.
Right, like, I'll be your wingman, right? That's how those things work.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on
anymore. All right, we go find Harden.
Is the sky purple?
She was playing around with a hyena bomber, right?
At this point, probably looking at loading up the hyena bombers with ordnance.
So she's still in the hangar bay, basically.
Yeah, she's on the landing pad. The question I have, not to be too mean about this, is Nima also going to be out there? Considering one of the things that you had said a while back was that Nima was going to try and look for her.
Nima was going to try to resolve the infighting The funny thing is, she would start with Corsa, same as they did.
And Corsa's going to be like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, which I kind of like the idea of actually Nima wandering off, finding him, having that conversation, and realizing that these two have been going around and taking care of it actually pretty smoothly in their own way.
Until you find out it's a lie.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a whole other story.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm asking is, was Nima going to be part of the social role, even if, say, Matu and TV were at the forefront of...
Nah, let's go with it. Come on, let's just do it.
Nah, I think we're just gonna go with it and see. I like the story it tells better if Nima doesn't show up, especially when she's still kind of on the outs with Matu.
Yeah, I like the risk. Okay. I was very seriously considering the other day, what if we just didn't get the Mandalorians? What if we just tried to see how far we could get by ourselves? Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, no one's on with me. Okay, let's go talk to Arden and then we'll get some Mandalorians, I guess.
Well, you know, there's other stories to be told on other planets. So Harden is, you know, over near this hyena bomber, and she's waving in like a hover forklift with some concussion missiles to try to load up onto this thing.
A little more to the left. No. Now a little to the right. Wait a minute. The bomber's moving again. You stay.
Head technician Harden.
That's me.
Hi, listen, we've been going over the battle plans with this tactical droid here, tapping him on the head. You know, he's...
Mm-hmm. He smiles.
Very...
With his new diodes.
Very good at what he does.
I'm sure he is.
So, what we're thinking here is that, listen, you are an absolute master at the technical side of running a war. How much combat experience do you have?
Well... I served in two different militaries, if that's what you're getting at.
Right. I
fought back during the Clone War.
See, so you understand that having a strong mechanical backbone is really the only way any war gets done. I mean, no, without the walkers being in tip-top shape, they can't, you know, plow through the fields of droids or crush...
What are you buttering me up for, boy?
Listen... We could sense a pretty palpable tension between yourself and Mr. Corsa.
That's one way to put it.
And you know that in a military organization, we need a single line of command, top down, as it were.
I can agree with that.
Now, according to the calculations
Corsa
of my...
Corsa has no experience in these sort of matters. He may make a fine administrator, but he hasn't been in a war.
Exactly my point. Now, according to the calculations done by my fine tactical droid over there, the reality is that this battle is going to be so chaotic that the person who is quote-unquote in charge of the entire operation is really going to have no real operational handling of what's going on. What we really need at the top is a figurehead, a charismatic...
Yeah.
Yeah, a charismatic young man who can inspire the troops, while really the individual situations have to be taken care of by skilled individuals. For example, I am going to lead the forefront vanguard, but I know, and Mr. Bellows is probably going to administer the secondary defenses. My colleague is going to work on the booby traps. So... Really, what we need you to do is to patch things up with Corsa so he can be the figurehead, and then you can do what you do best and make sure the mechanical aspect of this operation is at tip-top shape.
I was about to say, this is definitely coming up to a roll, depending on how she reacts. As Ben says, it's charm versus her cool.
Yeah, this is charm, which normally goes against cool, and, well, I'm just sort of thinking that, like, Christine, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, it sounds like Matthew's being fairly genuine in his appreciation of what she can do.
He is. There's definitely an aspect of manipulation here, but at the same time, he's very much appealing to, I think, her... Yeah, like, where she came from in the military, because if I actually don't recall what her rank was, but I don't think it was very high, so her perception probably is, you know, back then you have your admirals or whatever making decisions in offices somewhere far away, and they don't know the reality down here. Kind of thing. And so I think that's something she does relate to a great deal.
Going by what I'm seeing for that. That would give a bit of a downgrade for it, which, going by her stats, that puts it at actually 2 purple.
Hey! 2 green and 2 purple!
You got 4 light side points,
all
though.
All right, I'll use one.
yeah, I'm saving them for the second episode.
Today. Can amp, like, flex or something?
I'll give you a boost for amp, as long as it's not
I don't I want him to pose.
I don't think she's
like all
interested
Daredevil.
In amp that way.
he's going to lean against the wall, all cool-like and wink.
She probably shot at him back during the Battle of Zorn.
She doesn't know that. He didn't have a one-horned reek on his chest at that
that's
point.
That's the first half of a really good pickup line.
Oh, God. All right, I'll say that the boost is because I kept referencing that I had a tactical droid, and there he is, so... It's
hey,
plausible.
Baby, did you shoot at me at Zorn?
I think maybe they can get a second boost because she's been working with this hyena bomber here, and these are the two knuckleheads who brought this in. So maybe there's a little bit extra respect there of, okay, well, these two, you know,
I'll
they can get
that.
Something done.
Yeah.
Maybe an unconventional way, but...
Yeah?
Okay, I've got a yellow, a green, 2 blue, 2 purple. Can I flip a light side point so that we're standing on the rock that broke TV? For no reason other than I just want to do it.
He's suddenly
see,
looking...
here's the thing. You said I'm sort of debating as to whether it's you flip a light side or me flip a dark side.
You know, we'll save that for later. We'll save that for a critical moment when TV's panicking. Okay, so a success. Somehow he pulls
you
it
only
off.
I need one.
How does... Oh, God.
All right. You know, if anybody can is suitable as a figurehead, I suppose that boy will work. Sure. He can claim to be in charge, he can do his own thing. And when we get into it, well, those of us with actual experience will be making the decisions in the field.
Exactly. That's how I kind of feel about my commanding officer right now, so we're on the same wavelength.
Is there anything else, gentlemen?
I just want you to know, Amp puts his hand on her shoulder. I appreciate you. And then he winks with his one eye.
Thanks.
You know, these old droids, they've got some weird glitchy programming. Come on, let's go before you ruin this.
You might want to see about memory wiping that one.
He has a little skip in his step.
God. All right, so the question kind of comes to mind. You guys are heading off to Vlemuth Port?
Yeah.
Okay, in that case...
Well, listen, we should let Christine go so she doesn't die.
I'm absolutely with that. I was just wanting to get a very quick astrogation roll off of Raimi.
I've got his thing open.
That was, so.
My question is, should we actually ditch Nima? Like, should we just leave her here? Or is that going to throw everything way off?
I don't think so, because we're going to have to probably have her on board when we go from point B to point C. I was thinking we could just maybe leave her on the ship for the start. Maybe she's sleeping.
It could be what I could see us doing because the trip to Vlemuth Port isn't very long, right?
No, it's like 3 hours.
Yeah, so it might be that Nima is still like setting things up back with Zorn, having to use a comm relay or something, or it could simply be she's sending you know the kid Matu and the kids off to go do something because she's still kind of figuring herself out. And figuring, you know, considering what Kith has said, what Matu has said, and sort of what she wants to do, giving herself a little bit more space, I could simply work.
Cool.
Sort of sticking on the ship for a little bit and then popping her head back out?
Yes. So I've got Raimi's astrogation ready. What is the difficulty?
On account of, I'm assuming you guys are, like, who knows, maybe there's probes in the system. You're trying to be slightly on the stealthy side?
sure, it sounds good.
Remember all those
I want to get a 1 purple, 1 red, all because of Leslie.
I would apologize, but it was going to happen.
And mostly that dark side.
And a light side, bringing Raimi up to a 3 yellow versus the purple and the red. 3 successes, but a threat.
With that, I'm figuring that as a vanishing point rises up, its black wing shape against the red of the landing shaft, a pair of the hyena bombers jump up and start pacing it as it goes up, flying in formation and following it out into space. As Raimi starts flying out, past the space dock that's frantically working. Like, instead of it being just an arm going over to this ship, you can see work crews on the Seven, and it's just a hive of activity. The two hyenas land on the upper plane of the acclimator and start looking over at this ship below them. And then the vanishing point jumps into hyperspace. Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
And you can find me, Christine, on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K.
TV93, you can call me Amp, can be found on Twitter at iBrentBrown.
I have a brain somewhere, man. Maybe I just left it on the workbench with TJ. I don't know. I am Leslie, also Kith, Saboteur Mechanic, signing off with Leslie GS.
You can get more of me and my other show, Silhouette Zero. Just check out Twitter at SilZeroChris, that's SilZero. And if you want stuff from Matu, you can follow him on Twitter at MandoMatu. Lately, I've been doing like weird Mandalorian dark poetry, so if you're into that, that's where you get it.
It's like Mando Park. Mando Evanescence of some variety.
And you can find all of us at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes, and while you're there, help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way, and you can drop a holocom to heroes@thehydeanway.com. And if you like what we do and want to support the show, and are able to, you can at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
We can use it to buy antibiotics for Christine.